Good morning, everyone. It's a blessing to be here, and it's a blessing to be able to see the sunshine. And this morning when I first went out to check out the weather, our windshield was frozen solid. It was something else. And then to see it turn out like this, it's just gorgeous. So there's many wonderful reasons for living here in California. We have many blessings even in the month of December. Well, let's begin with prayer. Our Father in heaven, this time of year is so special because we're focusing on you and what you did for us by giving us your precious Son. And what a gift. It's just hard for us to wrap our minds around what you've done for us. And God, we want to know you better. We want to become like you. We want to think like you. We want everything about you to become who we are. And we just want you to know, God, we are here to worship you here this morning. And we thank you with unconditional thanksgiving, God, as we mentioned here a couple of weeks ago, because everything that you do is good. And there isn't anything that you do that is bad. And we just thank you, God, that you are the Redeemer and you're going to redeem this whole world. And that's why you sent your Son to free us from sin that has plagued this earth from the days of Adam and Eve. And so we just now come before you, God, to keep our focus on you so that we can be filled with your peace and your joy and your love that you have had for eternity and you want to share with us as we reign with you for eternity. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Well, I know each week as we come here, you see this sign back here says, believe. And believing is very important. That is what the new covenant is all about. It is about faith in Jesus Christ. The Old Testament was all pointing to Jesus Christ. And this season of the year, there is a special focus on Jesus Christ because he came as a little baby in Mary's womb. Can you imagine being Mary and knowing that you have the creator of the entire universe growing inside your body? It's just unfathomable. And what a privilege and what a blessing. And then for us to get to know him and that God the Father sent him down like that for us to be able to see what God is like. Because the world has a totally false concept of God. They use God as probably the most ubiquitous, most common swear word there is. Even exclamation things, people say, oh God. It's all about God and so on. But God is absolutely phenomenal. And how much he loves us. And this time of year, it's time for us to just have an extra special focus on the coming of our Lord Jesus and what he gives to us if we believe in him. If you don't believe in him, you miss out on so many blessings. And the blessings that God has for us, the title of the sermon today is The Bountiful Blessings of Belief. And I'd like us to just get a taste of that today as we focus on Philippians chapter 4. Because it starts off here in chapter 4, verse 4 of chapter 4, it says, rejoice in the Lord always, always. Rejoice in the Lord always. And then in case we're wondering whether that was important or not, he goes on to say, I will say it again, rejoice. This is a time of rejoicing, although for many, many people, this time of year is very discouraging and depressing because of all the stress and worry and work that needs to be done to get the Christmas tree ready and to get all the presents made and to send cards and letters to everybody all over creation. And it's stress, 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 stress. Work, 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 work. One of the most challenging times of the year for so many people. But God is telling us to rejoice. This is a time for joy. One of the most important songs that we hear all the time is joy to the world, the Lord has come. Where do you think joy comes from? Well, we know it comes from God, but the word rejoice is joy is right in the word rejoice. He says, rejoice, joy in the Lord always. I will say it again, rejoice. Now, there's so many benefits. I mean, just the privilege of being a Christian, this is my favorite thing to do, is to share the wonderful blessing it is to people about being a Christian. The blessings that we receive for being a Christian are off the charts. Let's just notice something here, right in this verse. Look at this. Let your gentleness be evident to all. Gentleness. If there's any one thing that women like, is a gentle man. Somebody that is gentle, not somebody that's like a Mack truck that's running and pushing everybody around and trying to command this and command that and so forth. But it's nice to be around someone who is gentle. That is what Jesus was like. That's what he came to model to us. All we have to do is read the Gospels, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, and you'll see story after story of how gentle Jesus was, except when he was talking to the Pharisees. He kind of has a thing about these false teachers that are twisting around and not believing that he's the very creator, because if it weren't for him, we wouldn't be here. And to deny that, well, the Bible describes that only a fool says in his heart, there is no God. But God is giving us a taste of Jesus. He brought him down here to this earth as a little baby, because that's a good way to begin to realize how vulnerable he was and how he was willing to humble himself down here to be a little baby before they even had diapers. They probably had cloth and so on, but it was a big job to keep up with that. But he came down here and he was a little baby and he messed in his diaper and he became just like the rest of us. And he went through all the difficulties and the challenges that a little baby has growing up, and then all the challenges that we all face as we're growing up. But the thing that he wants us to learn from this is that if we keep our eyes fixed on him, you can have the best life you can possibly imagine. Because no matter what happens, remember what we covered in the sermon 2 weeks ago, unconditional thanksgiving. You can be thankful no matter what. Habakkuk was thankful even though they were going into captivity and people were being killed in all directions. How is that possible? The whole book is an anomaly. You just say, how can somebody be filled with thankfulness? It's a miracle. It is a miracle. The world would call it stupidity. But the miracle is that we know the truth, and the truth sets us free from anxiety, worry, angst, all those things that human beings are caught up in now during this season of the year. And God wants us to enjoy him. I remember a very good friend of all of us who said, enjoy God because he already enjoys you. Anybody remember who quoted that? Anthony Van Dyke, you better believe it. He left a legacy for us, because I'll never forget that he says that. And he signs his letters that way and so on. That describes what God wants us to learn. He wants us to enjoy him, because you cannot be a loser with him. He wins every time. How would you like to win everything you do? Because even when you lose, you've won with Jesus, because he redeems everything. When you lose, you win character. You win righteousness. You win a closer relationship with Jesus, because you're going to be praying during that time while you're going through hell in a handbasket. But this is the bountiful blessings that God gives to us. They come so much that it's just overflowing. Like it says in Malachi 3:8, prove me now herewith that I'm not able to pour out a blessing on you that you don't even have room to receive it. But notice what it says right here in the same verse. Let your gentleness be evident to all. This just starts out because God wants us to be like Jesus. Jesus was gentle. He was gentle. He was always thinking about other people. If you want to rejoice and have joy during this season, and you want to have joy for the rest of your life, and to be a gentle person like Jesus, you know how expensive that is? It didn't cost you anything. Well, I'll have to take that back. He does. You have to die to yourself. But it's free for the asking. But you've got to want it with all your heart. And I know you've heard this before, but you're going to hear a lot of things that you've heard before today. Because the Apostle Paul says, I've told you this before, but I'm going to tell it to you again because you need to hear it. Because God wants us to be happy no matter what. Happiness is Jesus. He is full of joy. Even when he was facing the cross, it says, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame. Wow, that's what I want. I want to have happiness 24/7. That's what God is offering to us. Look what it says here. Chapter 4, verse 4, again, verse 5. Let your gentleness be evident to all, because the Lord is near. Do not be anxious about anything. Wow. Do not be anxious is just the preliminary parts of worry. You know, just what's going to happen? You know, I don't know if I can deal with this. You know, it can be gone. Just for the asking. God says, ask and it shall be given to you. Seek, look in the Bible, because God tells you how to be happy. Seek and you shall find, and then knock. You have to ask and then knock on the door. Jesus says, I am the door. You just keep knocking on that door. You know how often you knock on the door? Every second of your day. If you're not knocking on the door every second of the day, I'll tell you what. There's going to be a crack in the door, and the devil's going to come in there. And he's going to give you a living, not joy ride, but the other kind of ride. So he says, do not be anxious about anything, because anxiousness is the opposite of belief. Belief is faith. Faith and belief are synonyms. And he says, don't be anxious about anything, but in everything by prayer and petition. Now notice this. This is contrary to what you hear on many radio preachers. There's so many, and you heard the latest one about the wall job and the plumbing job. We don't need to go there, but there's a lot of preachers out there that are no more preaching the gospel than a chipmunk. But here's what he says, that when you pray, it says petition, petition. You know, when you sign a petition, there's no guarantee on that, that God's going to give you what you ask. No guarantee. You're just signing a petition. You're asking him because God might give you the opposite because he knows what's good for us. This is called belief and faith, because God is working in our lives every second, every moment of our lives. He is teaching us. He's working in us. He says, once he's begun a good work in you, he will perform it. He is at work in us all the time. And as we mentioned before, Jesus couldn't do any miracles when he was here on this earth. He says, my Father in me, he does the works. Jesus was no different than the rest of us. He was the Son of God, but we're all sons of God. But God was using Jesus, and Jesus spent lots of time in prayer. He was always leaving the multitudes and taking off of the mountain because he knew that his power and his strength came from his dad, because his dad was spirit and Jesus was physical. And so all those miracles, the Father, my Father in me, he does those works. And the things that we do, if you want to be happy all the time, you know where, who's going to be doing that? He's going to do it, because you and I can't do that. I've told you this 1,000 times, but we need to get this deeply embedded so that you can be the happiest camper that ever went camping all the time. If somebody's upset with you, enjoy it and learn from it. What can I do to make things better? Instead of saying, oh, you just do, and you just get in this big argument. That's not Christian. That's worldly. God says, he that is a friend of the world or the world's way of doing things is an enemy of God. We need Jesus Christ living in us. And if you're not living a life full of joy and peace and love and patience and gentleness and meekness and humility and self-control, there's only one thing to say. You didn't ask for it. All we got to do is ask. And God isn't going to give it to us until he knows in our hearts that our hearts are ready for that. We want that. Like he says right here. In everything by prayer, because we need to be talking to God, that's called relationship, and petition. Now notice, sandwiched between the petition and the requests. A request is when you're asking for something that you don't know if you're going to get it. You're asking for time off. Your boss might say, well, I don't know, we're too busy right now. It's not going to work. Sandwiched in the midst of these petitions and the requests is thanksgiving. With thanksgiving. Sandwich. You know, if you're going to have a sandwich, you got two pieces of bread and then you got some meat in the middle. The meat is the thanksgiving. That's why we covered unconditional thanksgiving 2 weeks ago. We need to be thankful in everything because everything we have came from God. Everything we do can be done by God through us. Now, it can be done by us and leaving God out of the picture. It's really easy to do because we are easily distracted. But he says, by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, that is a gift from God. Thanksgiving is a gift from God. When you have a thankful heart, you have to ask for that because a lot of times we become ungrateful and we gripe. Anytime you're griping about something, you're not thankful. You're griping. Are you a griper? If you are, all you need to do is say, God, help me to be thankful and to stop being a griper. Present your requests. Now, requests and petitions are the same thing. You don't know what you're going to get. But whatever it is, you believe that God is going to give you exactly what his heart in you wants you to have. And when God sees your heart is good, because it's God's goodness in you, he's going to blow you away with blessings. Because that's just who he is. Just like if you're the boss in a company and this guy's working for you and he's making you big bucks. Hey, oh, you want some help? Whatever you want. It's yours. You're doing the work for my business, and you're making me money. Take whatever you want. It's yours. And God has unlimited resources. And the resources that we need to want more than anything else is not the physical blessings, but the spiritual character that he will give to us through those situations. Because that's what's going to last for eternity. Those physical blessings are going to come and go. You know, Abraham was the father of the faithful. He screwed up all the time. He was a human being just like you and me. He was a lion, but he had a heart for God. We're not going to be perfect, but we need that heart for God like Abram had. Remember when he was going into Canaan and Lot wanted all this property over here because it was down there where Sodom and Gomorrah was, where all the money was and all the richness and the fancy stuff and so on. And Abraham said, it's yours. I'll take this stuff over here. It's the second best. You know what happened? Because Abram was gentle. He was kind. He was considerate. He was thinking about Lot over himself. We're going to see that shortly also. When you do that, God saw Abraham's heart. That he was thinking about others instead of himself all the time. And so God gave him sheep and cows and things so many he couldn't even keep up with it all. Unbelievable blessings. What happened to Lot, who wanted everything for himself? He ended up in Sodom and Gomorrah and had to escape with the story. Fire came down and burnt the cities up where he was. He had to run like crazy to get out of town. And then his wife ended up becoming the salt of the earth. But not the kind of salt that she wanted to be. But it's just amazing how we reap what we sow. If we sow Jesus and ask him to live in us, the rewards are unlimited. It's so awesome. And we need to believe that. Not for the physical blessings, but for the spiritual blessings. Because if your motivation is the physical blessings, guess what? God's going to say, he hasn't learned yet. He doesn't know what's important yet. He's only interested in himself because physical blessings have to do with you. And we have to die to self and make sure that we live for Jesus. Now let's find out how we live for Jesus. And he says there in verse 7, and the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. But let's take a look at Jesus. Let's go back to chapter 2 because this is flowing into how these blessings come about. Notice this in chapter 2 and verse 1. If you have any encouragement from being united with Christ, because that's the only way it works, his spirit bears witness with our spirit that we're the children of God. It's the Holy Spirit in us that does the amazing things that we can't do. And when we're united with Christ, He says, if any comfort from his love, if you want to have some comfort so that you're not anxious and worried and fretting over this, that, and the other thing, if any comfort from his love, if any fellowship with the Spirit, if you want to have this relationship with the Holy Spirit and with the Father and with the Son, so that you are close, that you know God, he that says, I know him and doesn't do what God says he's a liar. But if you know God, if you have fellowship with the Spirit, if any tenderness and compassion, that's that gentleness that God gives to us when we're always looking out for the best interest of other people. Tenderness and compassion. Then make my joy complete. This is the season of the year when we're focusing on Jesus and we joy to the world. It's all about joy. God wants us to be filled with joy because Jesus came as a baby and he now lives in us. And that's what it's talking about here. Make my joy complete by doing what? By being like-minded. Paul says in Philippians 2:5, let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. You've got to let it. The Holy Spirit and Jesus are seeking. In fact, he says his Spirit roams the entire earth looking for somebody who wants Jesus to live in them. That's what he's looking for. And all we need to do is say, God, please grant me that willing heart, that I'm willing to believe with all my heart, soul, mind, and being. Know you not that the goodness of God leads you to repentance? You don't do this. You can't do it. You got to ask for it. And your heart has to be right before God, where you just say, God, I want you to give me your heart, because my heart is deceitful. It's not healthy. And so he says, then make my joy complete by becoming like-minded, that we have the very same mind of Jesus, who was always helping people, always thinking about others, always encouraging others, thinking about those who are going through rough times and praying for them, calling them or dropping a note to them or just caring about them or make a phone call. Everywhere Jesus went, he was setting an example. So, and all we have to do is read those Gospels, read any one of them, Matthew, Mark, Luke, especially, and John gives the big picture. But it's just one account after another of Jesus helping people. And that's what he wants us to be doing. He wants us to be helping people because people desperately need help. You say, well, I don't see anybody who needs any help. There isn't a single person on the face of this earth that doesn't need help. And the way you help them is by letting your light shine, by being interested, by caring about them, especially those who are your neighbors, like Jesus said. And was it Peter that said, who's my neighbor? Your neighbor's everybody you meet, but especially your next door neighbors and anybody that you're close to that you're going to see all the time. We need to be doing things for them and looking for any way that we can, finding out what they really appreciate or what their needs are. And that is what brings happiness and joy. And it's a beautiful thing. And notice what he says. Then make my joy complete by being like-minded, having the same love. That's the unconditional love. That means even if your neighbor says something bad behind your back, the Proverbs tells you what to do about that. You know what it says in Proverbs? If your neighbor says something bad about you behind your back, forget it. Because you yourself know you've said some things behind your back about somebody else and you want them to forget. So God's word tells us how to deal with these things. And that way you don't have to be miserable. Being one in spirit and purpose. The same purpose, Jesus Christ, for God, that's that scripture that the whole world knows. For God so loved the whole world. That's the people, not the world's society. God so loved the world, he wants us to so love the world, every single human being, because you know what? We're going to get to know every one of them in the future. Mark my words. You're going to get to know all of them. It's going to take an eternity to do that. And wouldn't it be nice if they remembered the kind things that you said or did or whatever you might have done for them when you had no reason to do so other than obey God? He says here, verse 3, do nothing out of selfish ambition. That means nothing means zero. We should not be doing anything out of selfish ambition. If we do something out of ambition, it should be selfless, so that whatever we do gain from this, that we do it for God's glory. That's not selfish. That's glorifying God. Whatever you do, do all to the glory of God. 1 Corinthians 10:31. Do it all. Everything you do, do it for the glory of God. And God's going to be a happy camper. That's what he's looking for. Do nothing out of selfish ambition or vain conceit to try to make yourself look good. If you do that, that's all you got. It ended with that. No more blessings. If your motivation is to glorify itself, that was it. That's scripture telling you that. But in humility, consider others better than yourselves. To esteem others better than yourself. We can't do that. Because we know it more than anybody else. I mean, who doesn't? That's human nature. If everybody could just be like me, the whole world would be a much better place to live. That's the average mindset. Because human nature is deceitful above all things. But verse 4, each of you should look not only to your own interests, but also to the interests of others. Because God's word says, and it's the very, very commonly known scripture, do unto others as you would have them do unto you. And the golden rule is all very clear. Each of you should look not only to your own interests, but also to the interests of others. Your attitude should be the same as that of Jesus Christ. Because if we're fixing our eyes on him and joyfully doing this during this season of year, because this is a good time to practice it. We got a whole month before Christmas and during this whole month of December to just really grow in joy and ask God to give us so much joy that is his joy. And he's telling us here how to receive that joy. So that when somebody says something mean to you, you enjoy it. And you just say, you know, you've probably got a point there. I'm going to pray about that. Thank you very much. They probably would have a heart attack and die on the spot because they would expect you to come back and say, well, you didn't understand me. You don't know what I'm talking about. You just missed the whole point. That accomplishes nothing. All you're doing is trying to aggrandize yourself. Suck it up. And say, God, help me to be a good vacuum cleaner and just suck it up. Your attitude should be the same as that of Jesus Christ, who being in very nature God, did not consider equality with God something to be grasped. Can you even imagine that? Here you are, the creator of the entire universe. And he cared more about us than himself. That's astonishing. That's astounding. But we can thank God we have Jesus as our creator. What a gift. God created all things, but he used Jesus to do it. And can you imagine what it would have been like if Jesus had just been part good and part bad? I don't even want to think about it. But what a blessing. I mean, that's enough to just make you filled with joy to know that our God is good to the core. There's nothing evil in him. And everything that he does is always going to work together for good. Everything, no matter what. You don't have to worry about your kids. You don't have to worry about your boss, anybody at work. Just love them. Just love them and care about them. Because that's what's going to make all the difference in the world. And then God may very well be using you and your example to cause them to start seeking God. Say, I want to be like her. I want to be like him. But, verse 7, he made himself nothing, taking the very nature of a servant, being made in human likeness, and being found in appearance as a man. He humbled himself and became obedient to death. When you think about it, you just think, wow. He died so you don't have to be dead for eternity. He did that. He went through that. He went through the punishment we deserved for our sins. And so you are off the hook. This is truth. This is the reality. This is what we need to be rejoicing about, that this is the one that was in that manger. This is why he came here, is to get you off the hook of sin. And he became obedient to death. And we also need to follow in his example, but it's a lot easier for us because all we need to do is die to ourselves. That doesn't mean blood pouring out of your veins and being killed. It just means that you have to say, I am dead to my own way, and I am alive to what God's will is, because I believe He is the best friend I could ever ask for. And He became obedient to death, even death on the cross. Therefore, God exalted Him to the highest place and gave Him the name that is above every name, that in the name of Jesus every knee should bow, because He set the example for the whole world to follow. He wants the whole world to be humble. He demonstrated that by His example of what He did. And humility is where we're willing to lay down our lives for each other. That whatever we do, it's never an inconvenience. If something is an inconvenience for you, you have the problem. That's called human nature. At the name of Jesus Christ, every knee should bow in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. And so the thing is, we're going to screw up. I screw up all the time. But we don't have to worry about it, because we can go to God and say, God, I'm on the wrong track. I need help. I've gotten sidetracked. And guess what? God's grace is sufficient for us. That's why He came, to extend grace to us, so that even our iniquities are not counted against us. I mean, what kind of friend could you ask for that would be any better than this? That just wants you to be happy all the time? Because you know you've got the best friend in the universe, because He made it. And He wants to live in you and through you, and to give you joy, peace, happiness, and to take away all the negative attitudes and critical mindedness and fault finding that we find with everybody else. And you know we all have to struggle with that. And we have to repent. Like the Apostle Paul says, he says, I die daily, because his human nature erupts. And we have to just kill it. Down, boy. Down, boy. Like a dog that's coming up there, wants to bite you. Down, boy. Human nature just is ready to attack. And we just need to repent, die daily, and say, God, give me Your heart. I need it right now. Please. And guess what? God will never, ever reject that prayer, because that is His will. That's what He tells us to do. In everything, give thanks to God. In everything, seek God. Ask God for His heart, His way of life. That prayer will always be answered. You don't have to wonder if God's going to give it to you. You just need to look in your heart and say, God, give me Your heart. And then once God gives you His heart, it's going to be easy, because He's doing it, not us. So it's a wonderful, wonderful blessing. The blessings that God has for us are off the charts. These are the bountiful blessings of belief. Let's pray. Our Father in heaven, words cannot describe how thankful that we are for who You are. You are the giver of every good and perfect gift. Everything that we have comes from You. And we are here today to just thank You and to praise You and to give You all the glory for giving us Jesus, for sending Him here to this earth as a baby to show us from scratch how we need to function, to be humbling ourselves before You and to become like a servant, and then to grow up in Christianity to follow Your example of always helping others, that our motivation is always to put others above ourselves like Jesus did. And so God, we just thank You for this priceless blessing of Your joy and Your peace and Your love and Your Son. And we give You all the glory and the honor, Father, in the wonderful name of Your precious Son, Jesus Christ.